98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo starts now.
Straight up 2 o'clock on this Thursday afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome into today's edition of the Burns and Gambo Show here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. We are live from the Ockchain Community Studios. My name is Dave Burns alongside the one, the only, John Gambaduro. Hi, Gambo.
Burnsy, what's going on today?
There was a delay there. Everything all right?
What are you laughing at? Like, what are you laughing
there was,
at?
There was this delay. There was this long what? Day before. There was a pause before we heard you say, Burnsy, what's up? And for just a second there, I was worried you weren't there. And I'm still worried about it. And I think my fears have been confirmed. I think we're having some technical issues. The one, the only, John Gambaduro. Gambo, what's going on? 1001, 1002, 1003, 1004. Burnsy, what's up? All right, we got him now. We're good. Gambo.
Burnsy, what's going
there
on?
There we go. There we go. We good? We okay? We're all right? We're fine?
Well, listen, it's never me. It's always the button pushers.
Oh.
So it's whatever whatever people are putting the button, pushing the buttons.
Oh, wow.
I'm fine. I'm connected. I'm ready to go.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Maloney. I mean, right? Aaron.
I'm pushing the buttons, Gambo.
Oh, my God.
And you were on.
Yeah.
Get your son off Fortnite.
I can confirm that you were on. Like, it was not Maloney.
Oh, no, that's Aaron Maloney you just threw under the bus there. That's our...
What are the...
She's the
best button pushers out there.
No doubt. I mean, she goes beyond that now. I mean, she's pushing buttons. She's pushing pencils. She's making decisions around
managing everything.
She's in a management role now.
100%.
And you're calling her out. I mean, Aaron Maloney
Station
is like...
Station doesn't... Yeah.
She's in charge of stuff around here.
I'll take... Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. We can hear
you. Can
you
hear me?
I do think Gambo is on some kind of delay. I really do think there is some sort of a delay between when I'm speaking and when Gambo's hearing me. I really think that. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. We're going to try to reconnect with Gambo. If you don't know... And by now, for the love of God, I hope you figured it out. Gambo is at home. I'm here in the studio. This is the arrangement it's been for a while. There does seem to be... We're okay? All right. Let's try this again.
I don't know.
You're not sure about this? Yeah, we can hear you fine. We can hear you just fine. You can hear us okay?
You can hear me fine?
Yep, we sure can.
Okay, I think they pushed the right button now.
Oh, boy. Here we go with that again.
Gotcha.
Let's weigh in on our top story of the day here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Burns and Gambo, the weigh-in, brought to you by Revitalize Weight Loss.
That wasn't awkward. Not at all. Not one bit. We're all good here.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me now?
Totally, we can hear you just fine. Yes, you sound great. Crystal clear.
Can you hear me now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're walking around the house doing,
okay,
you're in the living room, you're in the kitchen, you're in the backyard. Can you hear me now?
We're working on those button pushers. Don't worry.
All right. We're weighing in with the Suns and the Dallas Mavericks tonight. We're going to, for the first time since the Cardinals have been eliminated from the regular season, from the postseason, we're going to turn our attention and kind of start to ease back into normal life and downshift a little out of talking about the Cardinals nonstop. And it was certainly worthy conversation given the season and what's at stake. And we're going to continue to have a bunch of conversations about the future. But Gambo, let's focus on the team that's got the best record in the NBA right now and does so by a 2.5 game margin.
Yes.
Over the second best team in the NBA tonight. Another nationally televised game in Dallas against the Mavericks team, coached by Jason Kidd and doing surprisingly well given everything going on.
Yeah, what makes this team really special is they've got two Channing Frye's on their roster. They've got two bigs who shoot the three extremely well. So that's going to be the key to the game tonight. Their bigs are going to shoot the ball, and they're going to shoot it a lot. So with no DeAndre Ayton, they're going to try to get, guys like JaVale McGee in pick and rolls, and try to get them out there. But when you look at Kleber and you look at Porzingis, they shoot the ball extremely well. Now you got Luka Doncic, who, by the way, Luka did not play in the two games in November. When the Suns beat the Mavs in November, both times there was no Luka. Luka's in better shape now. His wind is better. He had a great game last night against Toronto, but he also played 42 minutes, so you get the benefit of the Mavs having...
Okay. We are clearly having some technical issues with John Gambadoro here, so let's reconnect him and see if we can get a better connection with Gambo, as we're already 6 minutes into the show and we're having a rocking start so far. Luka Doncic is off to a very good start for the Dallas Mavericks. He's averaging 25 points per game, and he is Luka Doncic, though there have been some questions about him this year, given what Gambo had to say about what shape he's in. He was criticizing his own self and was being criticized by others for the shape that he was in. The difference with this Dallas Mavericks team tonight, and the reason why they've got one of the best records in the NBA's Western Conference, in fact, you might not know this, the Dallas Mavericks going into tonight's game have the fifth best record in all of the West. They wouldn't even be in the play-in tournament. That's a real credit to Jason Kidd, but it's also a real credit to the defense that he has them playing. The Dallas Mavericks are one of the best defensive teams in all of the NBA. Luka Doncic, Kristaps Porzingis has been one of the better defensive players in the NBA. And for the Suns, who haven't played since they beat the Spurs on the same night the Suns lost in the playoffs to the LA Rams, for the Phoenix Suns, they've had a few days. The Mavericks have not. They're coming on the second night of a back-to-back. For the Phoenix Suns, a good challenge awaits them to see how they match up against the defense and how they do it without DeAndre Ayton. He has been ruled out. He's not going to play in tonight's game. We're not going to see DeAndre Ayton. And as Eric mentioned in the update, we're starting to kind of run out of time to be able to vote these guys into the All-Star break. For the Suns, in the meantime, things have really turned a corner. And Devin Booker, with a game on national TV, boy, he's been playing at a very, very high level the last few games, the 48 that he had against the San Antonio Spurs. I don't know if he's going to be voted in a starter. If you look at the most recent totals for the Phoenix Suns in the All-Star game, it would suggest he's not going to be voted in as a starter. I think the biggest thing for the Suns to watch is the All-Star selections start to come down, and the voting doesn't end until this weekend, and even then, we won't have an idea who the starters are and who the reserves are for a few weeks after that. Will the Phoenix Suns get a third guy? Is DeAndre Ayton going to be that third guy? Booker's going to go. Chris Paul's going to go. Is DeAndre Ayton going to go to the All-Star game? That, if you start... And our friends over at Bright Side of the Sun did a really nice job of this a couple of days ago, looking at the fact that at least six big men have to go, trying to figure out who among the Western Conference guys, which big men are eligible to go, and you start doing the math, and you realize that DeAndre Ayton might very well be one of those six guys. Okay, I can hear the microphone rustling in the background. Yeah. Gambo, is the fourth time a charm? Do we have you?
Well, listen, the start of that show was, you know, almost like the, you know, like the Cardinals against the Rams the other day.
I know. It's just about as painful doing it as it was watching it. I know. Yeah, it feels about as bad. Yeah,
I think they had. Okay, but you can hear me okay now, right?
Yes, totally fine. 100%.
Not on a delay. All right, I'm here. Let's go. Let's roll.
All right, what were you saying about this Mavericks game, Gambo?
I was saying that you've got two bigs here in Kleber and Porzingis that are kind of like having two Channing Frye's. I mean, they shoot the ball with their bigs a lot. You'll have Mikal Bridges on Luka. Luka did not play the first two times that the Suns beat the Mavs in November. He wasn't out there, but he's in better shape now and he's good. But the thing about the Mavs that's interesting is just how good they are defensively. They've never been a great defensive team, but this year, they're fourth in the NBA in defense.
Okay. You know what? Here's what we're going to do. We're close enough anyway. Let's take a break here on the Burns and Gambo show. Let's try to figure out what's in it. We're just trying to figure out the connection and making sure that it's good. Let's figure it out. We'll take a break and come back here on the Burns and Gambo show.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, afternoons.
Live radio is the best. as we're live from the Oxygen Community Studios here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. The show must go on. The show is going on. Welcome back to Burns and Gambo. And as we work through our technical issues with Gambo broadcasting from home, we are doing it the old-fashioned way. Gambo is joining us on the phone, right? Or are you? Do we have your connection back? Or are you on the phone right now?
No. There's some kind of delay, and I could hear it. So, I mean, it's just trying to figure out what the delay is. But there's definitely like a five-second delay that when I speak, it takes them like 5 seconds to hear me. So we got an engineer on it now. Hopefully it'll get all worked out in the next couple of minutes.
Yes, we were all experiencing that delay together on the air, and it made for a awkward beginning of the show because it was felt like we were standing on two sides of a canyon trying to yell at each other and just having to wait for the other person to respond. So
hello.
It was something like that. Yeah, it was something like that. So we've got our great engineering staff. They are on it right now. They are trying to figure out what's going on because Gambo's been working from home for the last several weeks, and it's been very seamless up until this point, so I'm sure
has been seamless
that
yeah,
we'll
so
all figure it out
real issue.
Yeah, so anyway, just to put a bow on our Suns conversation, and then we'll move on to the Cardinals. Suns and the Mavs tonight, 5:30 tip time. You'll hear it on ESPN 620. We'll keep you updated on that game throughout the course of the evening while we're still on the air, but it is a nationally televised game. All right, now we turn our attention to the Arizona Cardinals, Gambo, and while free agency is still several months away, at least a couple of months away. March 16th, I believe, is the first day, with legal tampering starting on March 14th. There are obviously a lot of decisions. We've already started to talk about the decisions. And as we get closer and closer to that day and some of those decisions being made, we start to see some of the rankings coming out now. And I know Pro Football Focus has been doing a lot of this lately, sort of ranking the free agents as we go into this market. And knowing the Cardinals have so many key guys who are going to be available, it is fascinating looking at where at least one website ranks a couple of these players. We talked about the running backs yesterday, but looking at wide receiver, looking at quarterback, looking at tight end, there is a lot of guys that are going to hit the market that at least Pro Football Focus thinks very, very highly of going into this offseason.
Yeah, where do you want to start? Pick a position and we'll start there.
Okay, well, we talked about running backs yesterday, but I'll tell you right now, I'm going to bring it up again just because if you weren't listening to our show, I think you should know that in ranking the running backs yesterday, they had James Conner as the third best free agent running back available. They've got Chase Edmonds as the fourth best free agent running back available.
Wow. Yeah. Like I said, I'd be interested to see where some of those guys ranked last year because James Conner probably didn't rank very high. And he ended up being one of the best free agents in all of football. When you look at the production, what they got, and now he's ranked third. They project that he'll get 2 years with an average salary of $6.4 million. That's the Pro Football Focus projection on James Conner, that he would get a 2-year deal at about $6.4 million. I mean, that's probably, somewhere in line. Remember, they only paid him $1.75 this year. So for a guy who gave you all that production for $1.75 million, they're projecting him to get a big jump up to almost six and a half.
All right, this isn't maybe the most important position, but I want to talk about it because of where they've got a couple of guys for the Cardinals. The top tight ends going into free agency 2022. They've got Mike Gesicki of the Dolphins 1, Dalton Schultz of the Cowboys 2, Rob Gronkowski 3, David Njoku 4. They've got Zach Ertz as the fifth best tight end going into free agency in 2022. And in what I think is a very interesting turn of events, potentially, they've got Max Williams as the eighth best tight end available in free agency this year. That is eyebrow-raising, to say the least, Gambo.
Well, think about it. For a guy who got hurt early in the season and wasn't able to get back in play, he was out for the year. They have him eighth. Now, I'm blown away by the projections. I'm absolutely blown away by the projections for his. Now, I think the Zach Ertz projections are a little high, but let's just talk about Max Williams. I thought he would come in like a little bit over the minimum, and they're looking at $6.25 million per year on a 3-year deal. If he's that high, they can't keep both him and Zach Ertz. If he's close to the minimum, they could keep Ertz, pay him a good salary, and keep Max Williams. But I don't think the Cardinals, and I don't know if you agree with me, I don't think the Cardinals are going to spend $18 million a year on two tight ends.
No. I know they're not going to, and I don't have any sources on that one. That's just old common sense that's speaking to me right there. There's no way you spend that much money on two guys. You're going to have to choose one or the other if indeed the projected contract that Pro Football Focus is putting out there on Max Williams is accurate. 3 years, $6 million per year. You can't afford that and Zach Ertz. If Max Williams were a minimum guy because he's coming off the injured list, well, then maybe you could talk about bringing both back. I don't know if Pro Football Focus's projections with the salary are accurate. If they are, if they're even close to accurate, and Max Williams is valued like that financially, you're going to have to choose one or the other of the Cardinals. You're not going to be able to afford to bring both back under that price. No way.
And you know who I would choose?
I would choose Max Williams.
Me too. Me too. If I can get savings, like Max Williams can catch the ball, and he's a great, great blocking tight end. I would take Max, and if I can't have both, right, I would take Max and save that $5 or $6 million for something else, rather than kind of pay Zach what, you know, they're saying Zach could be an $11 million a year guy. My projection with Zach Ertz was a $7 to $8 million guy. And he still may be. Their projection is he's about $11 million. If that's the case, I think you just got to let him go sign with somebody else, and then you put your priority into re-signing Max Williams.
The wide receiver rankings, we touched on this briefly yesterday. I'll circle back to it. They've got Christian Kirk as the ninth best available free agent wide receiver this offseason, with obviously eight guys in front of him. Devontae Adams is number one. Chris Godwin is two. Mike Williams is three. They've got OBJ in front of him. They've got Juju Smith-Schuster in front of him. They've also got A.J. Green as the 18th best projected wide receiver in free agency. Then, Gambo, when you hit zoom out and you look at the overall rankings, this is where, to me, it gets really interesting, because then you start looking at players who, you know, the Cardinals may or may not keep or may try to go out and get. Pro Football Focus ranks Chandler Jones as the fourth best free agent overall available this offseason. Number four. They project him to get a two-year deal worth about $17 million per year.
Yeah, that's big money. I mean, that's big money. I mean, look, you can't keep everybody. So you've got to project what you think the numbers are. I think that their pass rushers next year could end up being Marcus Golden and Hassan Reddick. I think that they would love to bring Hassan Reddick back. What his projection is, I think, you know, Pro Football Focus has him around $11 to $12 million a year.
Yep.
That would be less. And I think that they actually value him more.
They've got him as the 31st ranked free agent available. They've got Christian Kirk as the 50th best free agent available. Zach Ertz checks in at 60. You stop whenever you want to talk about one of these. James Conner at 71. Chase Edmonds at 78. Robert Alford at number 84. They've got Alford as the 84th best free agent available this offseason. I thought that was high for a guy who's barely played lately.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing on Alford. It's an interesting thing. He's a minimum guy no matter what. Right, he's a minimum guy no matter what. So, like, and when he played, he was good. So it's not like you'd have to pay him because he's not available very much. But he, you know, when he plays, he's a pretty good player. You can count on him. He's not a number one, but he could easily be a number two or a number three cornerback. And so there's some value there. It's just, do you really want to have a roster spot for a guy that just can't stay healthy? He missed two full years. Now, he missed two full years. He came back, and when he played, like, he was good. It was like, wow, like, he's a good player. But, man, even the minimum salary, to me, it's the roster spot. Do you want to give up a roster spot for a guy who just doesn't have the ability to stay healthy?
Yeah, and you just don't know. You just don't know about his availability. I mean, if you want to bring him back on the cheap and hope, then you just got to make sure you're adequately prepared at that position, because chances are decent he is going to go down. Chances are decent he's not going to be able to finish the season for you, and you just can't go into the season counting on him to be your number one or even your number two cornerback at that point.
Right.
Okay, a lot more about this when we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, but coming up next, the top 10 recent coaching hires in the NFL. Did Cliff make the list? And if he did not, why didn't he? We'll tell you next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
The Burns and Gambo Need to Know Twitter poll, presented by Sanderson Ford.
We say a little prayer, and we move on with the Burns and Gambo Show because we think we've got everything good. Gambo?
Aretha Franklin!
Yeah.
I say a little prayer for you forever and ever. What a great song. Boy, what a great song.
It's a shame we got all of our problems with Gambo fixed, because if I knew the first thing he was going to do was sing, I might have voted to continue the problem.
What, a little Aretha? You don't get much better than Aretha Franklin. Come on.
Right, but it's not Aretha Franklin singing. Yeah,
exactly. It's you singing. It's not Aretha singing. It makes a big difference. Makes a
Say
big,
a little
big
prayer for me. I have that on my Spotify. Do you?
No, I don't. As a matter of fact, I have respect, but I don't have that on and I don't have Spotify. I've got Apple Music. All right, what we do have for you is Eric. He is here after we've gotten through some of our technical issues, and he has our Twitter poll question of the day. We're going to be talking about this a little bit later. The Suns taking on the Mavs tonight. Trade deadline coming up, I believe, on February 10th, so we're not that far out. Eric, what are we asking the Burns and Gambo audience today?
Well, there's no doubt if any team has earned some RESPECT this season, it is the Suns.
Oh,
but here's the thing.
Look at you!
Well played.
Look at you!
Well played.
Look at you!
Bravo.
And how old are you?
22.
Wow. 22 years old and he knows the song. I'm impressed.
It's only one of the most recognized songs in the history of rock and roll, but yeah, I'm impressed.
Spelled a couple
too.
Words in my day.
I know. I'm just saying that's old. That's 60s old right there.
There's no doubt. All right, so with the Suns getting their respect, or the Suns going to be getting a player? That's
the question.
Well,
that's the thing. They have the respect, but last season they were kind of left out to dry without a big man. This season they're looking to maybe add some more assets. So the question is simple. Would you trade multiple first round picks and a player at the end of the rotation for Eric Gordon? Yes or no?
He'd be a bench guy.
Oh.
But man, is he good. Man, is he good. Give me the thought again. What am I giving up?
You're going to trade multiple first-round picks. And
which don't matter because the picks are going to be late. Okay, and?
A player at the end of the rotation. We think the line is probably below campaign.
Yes.
That's what Bernsey and I was thinking.
Yes.
I would, too.
Yes. I'm all in, man. Get me Eric Gordon. I'm all in. Yeah. Guy, he's so good.
In a New York minute, I think.
I do it.
I think what Kellen Olsen said yesterday during our round ball red table is absolutely accurate. Man, this is your window. This is your moment. Every single guy you can get. First round picks be damned. Absolutely, I would do it. What's our audience say on this one?
Well, they definitely disagree with you guys. An
what?
Overwhelming 74.1% say no, which I think is a little ridiculous, and 25.9% say yes.
Well, what? But they want the 30th pick in the draft?
That's
what the hell?
Saying.
What do you want?
Yeah.
Like, maybe, what do you, pick's going to be at the end of the first round every year. Like, what are you going to do with those picks?
Maybe
they don't play anyway.
Maybe they just want somebody different than Eric Gordon. Maybe they're willing to go all in. They're just not willing to go in all in for that guy. We're going to talk. Gambo's got some intel about this. We're going to talk about that a little later on in the show. So you'll want to keep it here for that here on Burns and Gambo. And it's good to have the crew back together again. We had some technical issues the first half hour of the show. We do seem to have fixed those as we are live from the Yachting Community Studios, though not necessarily side by side, John Gambadoro and Dave Burns. While the speculation continues, and I know at ArizonaSports.com, we've got a column from our own Dan Bickley about the nature surrounding the speculation about Cliff Kingsbury. Today, there was a story on ESPN.com, and I'll just tell you right now, Cliff did not make the cut in this story, and there's a very simple explanation as to why. It was a Bill Barnwell story, ranking the best NFL coaching hires since 2017. And he had two rules when he wrote this story, when ranking the best NFL coaching hires of the last 4 years. Rule number two eliminated Cliff, and that was coaches needed to have won at least one playoff game with their new team to make it into the rankings, which leaves out Cliff, Mike McCarthy, Brandon Staley, Nick Sirianni, or Ron Rivera, each of whom have done, in his words, solid work early in their tenures. I might put some of those guys ahead of some of the options in our top 10 in a vacuum, but I think it's fair to set that distinction. And then he goes on with the top 10. You want me to tell you the names?
Yeah, it's interesting, though, that, I mean, is that a cop-out in some ways that he didn't want to include, like, Cliff and the other coaches? He didn't want to include McCarthy? in there?
I don't know. Is it reasonable to ask that if you've been on the job since 2017 or at least the last couple of years, that you can't be considered one of the best coaching hires if you haven't taken your team to the playoffs? I don't think that's unfair. You know, to say, how can I say you're one of the 10 best coaches hired since 2017 if you haven't even gotten your, if you haven't won a playoff game, but not gotten your team to the playoffs, because obviously okay. Cliff's done that, but won a playoff game. I don't know. Let me read you the names.
All right, let's go through them.
Okay. Zach Taylor, number 10 of the Bengals.
I mean, this is his year. I mean, it took him a little time. They got Burrow, and they got rid of Andy Dalton, and they got rid of A.J. Green, and they got Ja'Marr Chase, and all of a sudden they broke out this year. I think he's a good young coach, and he's going to be on the rise.
There's only, and I think the reason why he's so low, his record as a coach, he's only got like a 34% winning percentage. I mean, he hasn't, this year they've been good. They haven't won a lot of games. Number 9 on the list is the only guy who is not currently employed with a team or with the team that allowed him to make this list, and that's Anthony Lynn of the Chargers. Anthony Lynn was, because he took him to the playoffs, they won in the playoffs, they won a game. He was a game above 500 in his record as the Chargers. He's the only non-head coach currently who is on this list right now.
Yeah, I thought it was questionable when they fired him, for sure, when he got let go. And then they end up with Justin Herbert. And, I mean, we're going to talk about this in a little bit. I mean, the importance of having a quarterback. And, you know, now they've got a quarterback. Good quarterbacks make coaches look good.
Yes, they do. Kevin Stefanski is number 8 on the list. He's won one playoff game. His record as a coach is 19-14.
Boy, I'm not a Baker fan. I think Baker's just a guy. So I think when you don't have that quarterback, I think it's hard. There's been a lot of problems there. So I could see why he's a little bit lower on that list in the top 10.
Frank Reich with the Colts is number 7.
Yeah, love him as a coach.
I think he's really good.
Yeah, and they had in the regular season, that's the biggest flop, close to all, like near of all time. Like, all they had to do was beat the Jacksonville Jaguars in the last game of the season, and they're in the playoffs.
Yep.
And they lost. They lost to the Jacksonville. They can't beat the Jacksonville Jaguars in Jacksonville. They just can't do it.
And I'll just tell you right now, if Cliff were to be on this list, I think the line for where you would put him
is right there.
Is one prior, is Stefanski. You could make an argument he's better than Stefanski. You could make an argument he was better than Lynn. I think you could make an argument that he was better than Zach Taylor. I don't think you could make an argument that he's been better than Frank Reich.
Well, Zach Taylor is not going to be number 10 on this list like next year at this time.
Probably not.
He's going to be moving on up to that deluxe apartment in the sky. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so and then from here on out, there's no way in my mind that Cliff cracks this list at all. Number 6 is Mike Vrabel. Man, he's done a hell of a job with the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, I mean, they are the number 1 seed. They could go out this first round, but he has done a fantastic job. And especially, I mean, Derrick Henry went out so early in the season, and they were able to, to stay afloat and end up with the number 1 seed and home field advantage.
Kyle Shanahan is number 5.
Man, I mean, I don't know about Shanahan. Are you sold on Shanahan?
You know me, I was the one who thought the 49ers were going to be dead in the water this year, and they're playing in the divisional round of the playoffs.
They've 6-10, 4-12, 6, he's had 3 losing seasons. I mean, it did win 10 games this year in a 17-game season, and they had the 1 year when they got to the Super Bowl. If you take out this year, he had the 1 year he went to the Super Bowl with 13 wins, but other than that, 2 6-10 seasons and a 4-12. But you know what? I mean, I still don't know what the hell they're going to do at quarterback, to be honest with you. I have no idea, but a lot of people feel like they've got a chance to win this week in Green Bay. I don't. I don't feel like that they have a chance to win, but a lot of people think they do.
I don't think they have much of a chance. Why am I hearing that? I don't know what that is. Thank you. Bruce Arians is number 4 on this list. It's so weird to see Bruce Arians on this. 5-0 in the playoffs, including winning the Super Bowl, of course.
Wow.
Yeah.
And a tough game this week, too. So, against the Rams. That'll be a hell of a game. I'm looking forward to that. I think they're 2-0 against Bruce. I'll double check that. But yeah, 5-0 in the playoffs, and he knew the situation when he got there. It was a really, really good roster with a very erratic quarterback in Jameis Winston. And then once they got rid of Jameis Winston, they got Tom Brady, so that changes everything. But as long as they would have had a good quarterback, a better quarterback than Winston, they would have won a lot of games.
Sean McDermott is number three.
Love him.
Matt LaFleur is number two.
I actually like him. I mean, I like him. I think he's, based on, inheriting a situation with Aaron Rodgers and trying to make that work and being an offensive guy and trying to get his system in play. Now, I think LaFleur could take a big hit if they flop this week and lose.
Potentially. And then Sean McVay is number one.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Going back to LaFleur, the Packers record the prior three seasons before he got there, they were 23-24-1. They're 39-10 under him. Now, I know they've kind of flopped in the playoffs. They've only gotten as far as the NFC Championship game, and they probably should have gotten as far as that. If you were allowed to put Cliff on this list, based off of the rules that Barnwell put out there, where would you put him? Would you put him on the top 10 of the best coaching hires since 2017? Would Cliff be in your top 10 if the rules that Barnwell defined it by would allow you to put him in the top 10?
Yes.
Okay. Who'd you put him ahead of?
I think you're somewhere in that 8 or 9 category. I think you were right. I wouldn't have him ahead of Reich or Vrabel, or the guys that are there. I mean you're right. I mean, when you take a look at LaFleur, I mean, that's why McCarthy got fired. I mean, they were just, they weren't doing very well. LaFleur comes in, and now they just can't get over the hump, right? He can't get that team to the Super Bowl, but 13 wins, 3 years in a row.
Yeah.
With him. But I would probably say in that somewhere between 8 and 10.
That's kind of where I would put him, too. And I think if he had won that game against the Rams on Monday, and I know that's a big if because they got blown out, I think he'd be somewhere between 8 and 10 on this list, and that's the one thing keeping
him. Ask Barnwell, where would you have put Cliff if he won that playoff game?
You know what? We should do that. Why not?
Yeah. Where would you put him? I'd like to know, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would like to know very much so. You can text us your thoughts on where Cliff ranks in this. Anything we're talking about on the Burns and Gambo show, the FanDuel text line is there for you at 620-620 right now. When we come back, speaking of the NFL, the NFC playoffs roll on this weekend, of course, without the Cardinals. We'll start to take a peek at the two games in the NFC next on the Burns and Gambo show.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo.
Back here on the Burns and Gambo show, 98.7 FM, Arizona sports station. Probably tomorrow we'll really go deep dive into the four divisional playoff games this weekend. I think they've all got the potential to be really good. A couple of them really, really stand out as being compelling, interesting, hard to pick. And one of those games is in the NFC, Gambo. We're going to kind of use this segment to take a little bit of a first look-see at the two NFC games. The first one is on Saturday night. It's a 6:15 kickoff. It's the 49ers and the Packers. Let's talk about that one in a second. Let's start with the game that would have been the Cardinals had they won that game on Monday night. And that's the 1 o'clock Arizona time on Sunday game between the LA Rams and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think this game is a great one, and I think this is a game that is very difficult to predict a winner for.
I totally agree. I mean, I think that they've got a real chance. They beat Brady in each of the 2 years that he's played with Tampa Bay. They beat him at SoFi Stadium earlier this season, 34-24. They sacked him 3 times. Last year they picked him off twice, held him to about 200 yards, and they won that game 27-24 in Raymond James Stadium. So this is a really good matchup. I don't really like the Rams, but I hate Tom Brady and I hate the Patriots, and so I'm going to root for the Rams.
Oh, Gambo, make it hurt.
Yeah, I'm sorry, man. I can't root for Tom Brady, dude. I can't. You want me to root for Tom Brady?
Nah, you can do whatever you want to do. I'm just saying there is.
This one is
a very easy rooting decision for me. I am all Bucks all the time.
All Bucks
game.
All the time.
Oh yeah.
I'm so sick and tired. And he's great. I'm not like, but I can't. Man, I can't. I'm tired of Tom Brady. I mean, the guy's got 5 Super Bowl MVP awards. They had to play last week. They didn't get the bye. So, but, you know, I mean, Brady's 44 years old. Listen, you get a pass rush on him, you give yourself a chance.
Yeah.
And the Rams have Von Miller and Aaron Donald. And again, I mean, as a Giant fan, they beat the hell out of Brady. That's what they did, and that's how they won those Super Bowls. Now, you got a lot of weapons there if you're Tom Brady, but you're without one of your best receivers. The Rams, you know, Stafford's over that hump now, so you don't have to talk about it anymore. Nobody asked them about it. Oh, are you ever going to win your first playoff game? I thought Cam Akers was really good for them and Sony Michel in the running game. Odell Beckham Jr. has been great for them. He was fantastic last week. Cooper Kupp's a hard matchup. I think the Rams have a real good chance to win this game.
Yeah, and I think a couple things that help even this out a little bit. Yeah, you got Tom Brady on one side of the football. I'll tell you right now, All-Pro right tackle Tristan Wirfs and Pro Bowl center Ryan Jensen, both of Tampa Bay, have both now officially not practiced both yesterday and today. So they're potentially missing two big pieces of their offensive line. That's one factor to consider. The second factor to consider, Todd Bowles, defensive coordinator at Tampa Bay, loves to blitz. Matthew Stafford has been amazing against the blitz this year. That is something to keep an eye on in this game.
Big time. That's a good point. Bowles is a fantastic coach, a fantastic defensive coordinator. So I think if Tampa Bay wins this game, I think it's going to be because of Todd Bowles. I don't think it's going to be because of Tom Brady. I think it's going to be because of Todd Bowles.
All right.
I don't know if you agree.
And then, I agree with that.
Okay.
I agree with that. And then the Saturday night game, the 49ers against the Green Bay Packers. We haven't seen Aaron Rodgers and the Packers play in a while. They got the first round bye. San Francisco comes in. It's one thing to beat Dallas in the playoffs. It's something else entirely to go to Green Bay and beat the Packers.
Yeah, you know, Deebo Samuel is you know, I don't want to say X factor or whatever. I mean, he had 72 yards rushing. The most by a wide receiver in a playoff game in the Super Bowl era. He's such a weapon. Like, such a weapon. So, I mean, that's big for San Francisco. You know, they jumped on Dallas early. They got that lead. Elijah Mitchell's been good for them. They can run the ball. Now, you know, Bosa was ruled out of that game with a concussion. How is he? Fred Warner limped off the field with a leg injury. How is he? You know, the defense is going to be a key in that game. A lot of people like the 49ers. I don't. I think Green Bay, I love the, you know, if you get the bye and nobody else does and you're home and they played the week before and it was physical, I think Green Bay wins this game. I'll probably go Rams over Tampa. And then I'll go Green Bay over San Fran.
That's probably the way I'm going to lean with the NFC, too. When we let me remind you, you've shown up all season for the Redbirds, and Redbird Farms Chicken wants to thank you for your support of the Fan of the Game. Text the word FAN to 620-620. Enter for a chance to win $400 to the team shop. Again, text the word FAN to 620-620. They've won their last two games by a combined 6 goals. What's been the key to the recent success? Coyotes GM Bill Armstrong joins us next on the Burns and Gambo Show.